We're going to start with a nice word on Parshas Kisaitzei. It told us Yankov Yosef on the Pusik, Liyakli Geber al Ishu Liyulbash Geber Sinless Ishu. He says, we find a very interesting thing by Matan Torah. One of the important Azhuras that the Eibishta said was, V'ulisu atu v'aharon v'kahanim v'u'om al yersi lalos. Chazal say that the Eibishta was telling Moshe Rabbeini, you should have a machitza la'atzmachu, Aaron will have a machitza for himself, and Klal Yisrael for himself, and everyone should make sure not to go higher than they belong. It says he brings a Ramu. The Ramu explains by Humon what was Humon's strategy. He wanted to bring Motcha Tzadik to a higher level than he really was, and like this, he would have him fall down. As it's known that too much oil extinguishes the candle, the wick. So he says it's very important that people should know where they belong. They shouldn't try to do more than they could, or be in a higher madraga than they could, let's call it. And the other way around as well, if somebody is on a higher madraga and he's really behaving or acting as if he's on a lower madraga and not performing as much as he could, that's also obviously a big problem. So he explains, Liya Kli Gever al Ishu. Kli Gever, that's Ramaz on a bigger madraga, somebody who's not Rui for that, somebody who's not worthy, shouldn't be trying to be more than they are. And the same thing the other way around, Liyulbash Gever, similar issue. Everyone should be doing what they're supposed to be doing. Te'avas Hashem kol oisa ayla. He says Hashem doesn't like kol oisa ayla when everyone's doing the same thing. Not everyone's on the same madraiga. So if everyone's trying to do the same thing, there's already something wrong. And Hashem doesn't want that. Hashem wants each person to do what's proper for themselves, as the Pusuk tells us, kasher lo bais Yankov, sagad b'nei Yisrael, each in their own. Very often people try to overdo or outdo themselves and performing more than their ability. And while on the one hand it's beautiful and everyone should try to strive and grow and do the best they could do, sometimes it ends up, you know, falling flat on someone's face when they can't follow through with something that they want to do. And the other way around as well. Sometimes there are people who should be doing a lot more and they're not. And it's very hard to determine. That's why it's hard sometimes, especially when giving a class and talking to a general public, and you give certain pieces of advice which in some sense you're pushing people to do more sometimes, and sometimes you're telling people, calm down, don't do so much. And very often it's just hard to make sure everyone's hearing the right thing. It's clear that there are relationship issues, whether it's strong bias or other relationships, where people push themselves more than they should, and it ends up turning into some kind of resentments and problems, and it's all because somebody was trying to do something they weren't capable of. And they thought they would. They thought it was idealistic. They thought it was perfect. They thought that's what they were taught to do. So they have to push themselves. In the meantime, it's causing problems. You have to know when to put your foot down and make a boundary and say, this is not for me. I wish I could. On the other hand, you have people who are doing less than they should, and they need to be told that, yeah, for the sake of Shulam bias, for shulam in general, for getting along with people, whether it's your children, your neighbors, your spouse, your parents, sometimes you have to push yourself more. And sometimes you shouldn't be so comfortable and just stick to being right and wrong and make sure that you don't have to. So it's a very tricky topic, but something that always needs thought, that people should be able to think of. Am I doing what I should? Should I be doing more? Am I doing too much? And apply that accordingly. So with that, let me read a letter. Dear Rabbi Gruen, thank you so much for your beautiful shiurim on such important topics. I especially appreciated the speech from Parshas Tzav about dealing with a difficult father-in-law and how to be respectful without being controlled. I would so appreciate if you could address the following in English. My mother-in-law has many emotional difficulties, which has made a relationship with her extremely challenging. It is very difficult to interact with somebody who loves us and tries to help, but can at times be unpredictable, accusing, critical, and manipulative. She also has trouble knowing her place. For example, there have been times where she punished my children in a way that me and my husband don't. In an effort to be helpful, she might insist that my son do something when he already did his designated jobs, or my daughter do some chore that we usually don't ask of her. In addition, I'm more a private person and I feel she's intruding. For example, she took the liberty of going into my cabinets or washing my laundry when I had a baby, without thinking that I may not appreciate somebody going through my dirty laundry. She tries to exert her control by trying to gather pity. For example, she'll complain that nobody ever tells her anything and criticizes what she is told, which is why people are reluctant to tell her things. She is an almuna, which of course warrants special sensitivity on our part. My questions are as follows. Is there any guidance you can give regarding how to be respectful but be able to set firm boundaries as to what is unacceptable when she's in our home, and how not to be manipulated, and how to allow our children to develop a respectful relationship with their grandmother, but to understand that we are the ones who make decisions regarding what they have to do and what they can't do, and not her. Thank you so much, and Aksiva Sima Toiva. This letter was written a year ago before, in Chodesh El, probably. So Ksivas Mitoiva is you know the right thing to say at this time of year again. Let me start by saying this. Of course, when it comes to certain details, it's always like so. You know, on the one hand, you know most people aren't dealing with the same exact situation, but on the other hand, this is so common. It's so common. Not everyone, not by everyone, is it an amuna, and not always is it this kind of intruding or this kind of punishing. But it's so common that children, married children, have these kind of issues with parents looking for some kind of healthy boundaries, figuring out what's right and wrong, and knowing how to interact properly and healthy. For some people, it's just easier to swallow and do what's right, let's call it. You know, just be respectful and grin and bear it and get through it. And people don't think of, you know, how do I put my foot down? It's okay, I don't like it, but this is what it is. It's my mother and shine. For some people, it's harder. And for some people, just technically, it's not an option. I can't let my mother and my father step all over me and my family and my children. But this is definitely very common. It's one of the reasons why I almost didn't change any details when I read this, because there's not many identifying details over there. You'd be surprised. There might be a lot of people who are listening to this and thinking, oh, that might be me, but you know, this is very common. Now, sometimes when older people who marry or have children hear this topic discussed, their attitude is, yeah, today's generation. They don't know what it means, parents. They don't know what it means to be respectful. You know, the younger generation just doesn't know what it is. Just recently, I was talking to somebody who gave a name for a child, and it became a major issue because his parents wanted him to give a certain name. And when he said something like, aren't parents supposed to be giving the name? The answer was, well, we didn't give the name. We let our parents decide what names to give, so now it's our turn. So I'm not going to go into right and wrong about name giving. Everyone should ask their own questions about that. But there is a certain change in attitude, I think, maybe, on some level, with today's generation and the earlier generation. It doesn't necessarily mean that any child who's feeling a little stifled and claustrophobic by controlling parents is doing the wrong thing. It could be that in the past people, the attitude was different and people were maybe call it more respectful even. But it also doesn't mean that everyone just has to go along with people dictating what they do when they have a family and they're trying to run a life. So this is definitely something to think about. Now, there are shiurim and books and classes people give about this topic, about parents that are controlling and people with personality disorder, and people that just can't get along with, and you have to put your foot down, and you can't make it work, or whatever. And, you know, on some level, they're very helpful, because people start realizing that, yeah, there's a way to make these things work, and you can't always just, you can't tolerate everything, because it's not good for you. On the other hand, it's a sensitive topic, and I've seen it applied incorrectly very often. People hear shurim about, for example, dealing with a narcissist, or dealing with someone who has BPD, right? But now each person who just heard that shiur has to now apply this correctly. And in the meantime, some people are making their own assumptions and their own assessments about who has BPD and how to deal with somebody who has personality disorder because they decided that that's the person they're dealing with and they're applying it, you know, accordingly. Especially when you're talking about parents, talking about kibbutz avayim, things like that. You just have to make sure that you're getting guidance and making sure that you're applying any information here anywhere correctly. That you're not just relying on your understanding and you're not just doing it the way you understand to do it, and very often it's very detailed and very specific. So I'm just saying that as a akduma, you know, anyone listening to this that feels like, oh yeah, that's me too, I don't know if it's you. And I don't know if the Shir and Pasha Tzav, I didn't look back what it was about, I don't know if it's the same as this one or not. This is definitely something that needs to be done with great sensitivity and often guidance. Now, let's start with this. There is such a thing as what people refer to as difficult people. There are people that are difficult. Not that you said that, actually you did, I think you did say, you didn't call your mother-in-law difficult, but you said that she has emotional difficulties and that it's difficult to interact with her. But in any case, there are people that are difficult, there are people that are challenging, there are people that are difficult. Whether you want to give it a name or a label or not, whether it's a personality issue or a personality disorder, or it's just some kind of circumstance, you know, never when somebody's amunish, lost her husband or whatever it is, or it's the way she grew up, it doesn't matter what it is, there are people that are hard to get along with. And it's just the way it is. I wrote a book, Get Along With Everyone, and I talk a lot about getting along with people who are challenging. The main idea of the book is understanding that people that are hard to get along with are generally sensitive people, and it's because of their emotional hypersensitivity that it's hard to get along with them, and that if you would only be more sensitive to their feelings, as well as implement respectfully, very respectfully, healthy boundaries and communicate what's important to you and be strong about your things without challenging someone else, that balance could most often take care of almost all relationship issues. Now, very often people write to me or ask me, yeah, but what about this relationship? Well, what about, you know, I saw what you wrote, but it doesn't work for this one. And most often, I could say that based on what I'm hearing somebody repeat, yeah, it would work for you too if you only did it right. Not that I claim to have the answer to everything and the magic, but in most cases, it's people's relatively simple mistakes that they're either not being sensitive enough, or they're not being strong enough, or not doing both at the same time, that's causing a lot of problems. And unless in mamish extreme cases, a lot of improvement and a lot of solutions would be found just by following those few pieces of advice and applying it correctly. Yeah. But again, I'm still going to admit that there is such a thing as difficult people. There's still such a thing as people that will be, it's a high maintenance relationship and you'll have to put in a lot of work to get it right. And it's very confusing because these people are saying things that sound logical and they look like normal people and you have no reason to assume that there's anything wrong with what they're saying. And then they turn it against you, and like you're saying, they try to gather pity, and they tell you why they're using everything against you, and you're busy trying to disprove or debate or explain yourself, and it doesn't go anywhere, either because they're difficult people and they don't want to let you be right, or because they're difficult people and their whole distorted perception of what's going on is wrong. Whatever it is, it's often very difficult, and I just want to acknowledge that and validate that there are people that are hard to get along with. And that's why it takes a lot of effort to get it right. Now, before going into any advice or solutions, I do want to mention that there's definitely some halachic issues over here that I'm not going to help you with, I don't think. And it's very specific. It's very specific. To give a general answer on something that is a halacha issue or a Torah issue, and something that each person has to be able to now apply on their own, that's not something I think is responsible to do in a general way. You're starting off with the idea of kibbud av v'aim. Right, so a lot of people have that thing. Well, a married woman is not mechiv and kibbud av v'aim. That's ridiculous. Everyone's mechiv and kibbud av v'aim. You have to be respectful, and you can't. The idea of, for example, yisteres razduroi, or other things, doing different, or being disrespectful to a parent. That's never. It's only when your husband says one thing and your parent says something else that your first obligation is to your husband. But in general, the idea of kibbud av v'aim and your children's obligation toward a grandmother and things like that is definitely something to be very careful about. This is the famous Yerushalmi in Paya, Sechta Paya, Reb Zayda said that what a shame, he was a Yusim, he grew up without parents, and he said, it's a shame, I wasn't able to be mekayem this great mitzvah of kibbud av v'aim. And then he heard the severity of kibbud av v'aim, he said, you know what, nocha mazel, it's a good thing I didn't have parents, because I don't think I would have been able to do it properly. Doing kibbud av v'aim properly is not always easy, and it's very, it's naseh sadibris, and something not to take lightly at all, just to do away with something. Yeah, he's a difficult person and he can't get along with him anyway. That's not a reason to violate something this important. If you have the choice is one thing, but you don't have the choice. In other words, if you had the choice to not have to have this obligation, so Zayda felt, it was easier not to have it, in the first place. But if you're dealing with this definitely has to be done right. And Zayda also felt it would be very difficult, and perhaps this is what he was talking about. There are times that it's very difficult. There's a story about a Malamed who didn't want to have a Yusim in his class. Right, it was like a parallel class. He had the choice, and he told him, no, he doesn't want to have this Yusim in his class. He said, why not? What's wrong with this kid? He's a wonderful kid. He said, yeah, but the amount of care and feeling you have to give for a Yusim or Almuna, right, that the Torah says, you don't want to check what a Yusim, is something I'm afraid I won't be able to be careful enough with, and I don't want to have a boy in my class a whole year and be doing things that are wrong. So if you have the choice not to have him in your class, maybe that's a better way to do it. But if you do have him in your class, it just goes to show that you definitely have to be very careful with these things. So dealing with a mother who's both a mother, kibbud av v'aim issue, as well as namuna, another issue, right? Get used to namuna, you definitely have to be careful with. These are things not to decide on your own. Okay, this is unimportant, this is important, this I don't care about, this I can't do anyway right, and this shall never be happy no matter what. You have to be very careful. And that's why you always need Torah guidance when it comes to these things. Now, when it comes to Torah guidance, people think it's just, the Torah is not here to control us or make our lives difficult. The Torah is here just to show us the path and give us the guidance. It could be there are things that you thought you're responsible to do, and you're really not. And it's important to listen to the Torah and know if you are or aren't, especially if it's your husband saying something differently, or your mother demanding something that you pay for, and the Torah says you're not obligated to pay for it, for example, and things like that. And the other way around, maybe you're violating something by contradicting your mother or not being respectful enough. These are things that you want to get clarity on. The Torah tells us what yes or not. It's always good to be machmer and be frim, but sometimes you have to realize that it's on someone else's cheshbon. You always have to be careful with these things. There's a very specific precise guideline in the Torah what we're supposed to do and what not. Somebody just repeated to me this past week. He had an issue, without going into detail, he had an issue with somebody, and it wasn't geschmack and didn't end well. And after some time, he felt like maybe it's that person's kepaida because he didn't ask mechila or whatever it was. Maybe that's why things weren't going well for him. He already asked mechila, but maybe it wasn't enough and whatever. So he went to ask Erlechid, what do I do? Could it be that this is what's holding back from me having what I need and getting the brucha in my life? And this Erlechid said right away, did you do something wrong to this person? He said, no, but it didn't end nicely and we both weren't happy. And, maybe that person's just upset that I didn't do whatever they wanted or whatever. He said, did you hurt that person's feelings? He said, no. Were you careful not to badmouth that person? Yes. Could you say that the person has a taina that you should have been more sensitive or more caring, etc., etc.? No. But maybe they're still upset. So the Torah doesn't tell you to ask mechila from people who are upset at you. The Torah says you ask mechila if you hurt someone. Now again, I don't know if everyone will agree to that piece of advice, and I could expect some feedback about that. You ask mechila anyway, whatever. Someone has a shrei hearts and somebody's upset and whatever, someone's caused that. My point is just that the Torah tells us what's right and wrong. So if you want to know what the right thing to do, at least for starters, find out what it is that you are or not obligated to do, just to get your facts straight. Don't lump sum everything together. You have to be able to compartmentalize what's the right thing to do, what's the wrong thing to do, what am I allowed to say to my mother, what am I not allowed to say to my mother, what am I allowed to do, what don't I have to do, what shouldn't I do, etc. I think that's very important, to just break it down and learn what's right and wrong. Now, from a technical point of view, you're asking a question without too much background. I don't know if your mother lives by you, or she comes often or too often, or you're inviting her too much and really you don't have to, and you can avoid certain situations from happening. I don't know. But I will say that very often people find themselves in situations that they basically made themselves, and really it could have been avoided. It's very nice to be the Mr. Nice Guy if it's not hurting you and not causing you a lot of problems, but sometimes you just don't have to be so offering or so inviting, and you don't have to be so gracious. And nobody will even be hurt or offended because, okay, it didn't work. I don't know. I don't know what the situation here is. But I could say that I have seen people, putting themselves in a situation where they didn't have to. It's like the old joke about the guy who came every day with a peanut butter sandwich, and when everyone sat down for lunch, he took out a sandwich and said, oh, peanut butter, and he threw it away. I can't stand peanut butter. So somebody told him, why don't you just ask your wife to make you something else? He said, what wife? He said, what do you mean? Who packs your sandwiches every day? He says, oh, I do. And that's what happens sometimes. People are busy causing situations and then being resentful about it and being unhappy and being confused. So I don't know if some of the situation, some of it at least, could be avoided. I don't know which parts. I don't know which parts. Could be certain chores or certain things your mother's doing could be avoided by taking care of them before she comes or not having her over as much as you're having her, etc. That's one thing. In general, for somebody to be doing, and this is also similar to the idea we started off with from the Talmud Sanhedrin of Yosef about somebody trying to perform on a higher madraga than they are. I've seen this many times where people were trying to be mevater and trying to be mechabed and trying to do the right thing, let's call it. But inside, they just weren't handling it well. They weren't doing it willingly. They weren't doing it happily. They were just getting more and more resentful as time goes on. They were just building more and more cheshbonis as time goes on. And somewhere it pluses, and somewhere it just causes heartache. And I don't know if that's a big mitzvah. It's nice to do as much as you could do. But if you do more than you could do sometimes, and just ends up falling on everyone's faces, so you're not doing anything good. And this is, so again, it's hard to apply this because I don't know exactly the situation, and I want to be responsible and make sure I'm not suggesting anything that people will use incorrectly. But I've seen many people who try to be the martyr, whether it's to a parent, I've seen this many times, or it's to a spouse, or it's to a child, or it's to a neighbor, or it's to someone on the block. But you try to be a martyr, you try to do the right thing because you know that idealistically, I should be really be selfless and give everyone everything. And shali shalchu, shalchu, shalchu. And I want to be on that madraga, but I'm not. And as I'm doing it, I'm just getting more and more upset as time goes on. And eventually, everyone suffers from that. Also on a technical level, I would say that there are parts of this. And again, this is what happens when you break things down. When it looks confusing and you don't know which parts you should accept, which parts you don't have to accept, which parts are good, which parts are unavoidable, which parts are. So it just becomes one big thing, one big emotional mess. But sometimes when you break it down, you realize, okay, one second. I can't not have my mother over at all. Okay, so certain times she'll come. I can't have her come and not let her use the bathroom or tell her she can't open a cabinet because that's not practical. Okay, so that part I'll accept. Now I can decide if I want to take something out of my cabinet maybe, but when you break it down, very often you'll see which parts that are unavoidable. You may not like it, but you could accept it, and then deal with the parts that are avoidable and unacceptable and intolerable, and just get some more clarity. Sometimes you'll break it down by categorizing between the parts that are on my cheshbon personally and my family's cheshbon. For example, my spouse, my children. You know, if I want to be a martyr, it doesn't mean everyone else has to be. If I want to swallow something, we'll decide if I want to. I can still do it on my own. When you break things down, and you decide which parts am I willing to accept, even though I know it's not the way I want it to be, which parts probably won't change anyway, so I might as well learn to accept, and which parts am I not okay with and I don't want to accept and I want to do something about. Now, when you decide which parts or what it is that you want to change or you want to do something about, now the question is how to do it. But before that, you know, it's just confusing. So the first thing I want to tell you is that you should not try to be mechanech your mother. It seems like she's over 20 and she's probably not changing so fast. Now people do change. I'm not saying people don't change. People could change at 100 years old as well. But it's when they want to. So for you to try to change her or be mechanech her will probably end up making at least two people, you know, very hurt and upset and frustrated, because it's not going to work. I think what's important just to learn how to communicate. Learn how to communicate. Learn how to be assertive. It's about you. It's not about her. So the first thing I always like mentioning is what I tell people all the time. Be consistent. Be consistent. If one time somebody does something that you don't like and you decide not to say anything, and the next time somebody does the same thing and you get all upset because it happens twice already, and you say something. So they weren't happy about it, and they got insulted, and you got upset. Okay, the third time, you know what, I don't have koyach. It's happening, I'm not going to say anything. And the fourth time, should I say something? This time I'll hint it. The fifth time I say it, the sixth time I scream it, the seventh time I don't say anything. The reason why it keeps on happening is because you're not consistent. That person doesn't know what to expect. They're taking a chance. They get upset that this time you decided to say something. It's just very confusing for everyone. When you're consistent, and you know which parts you don't want, and what you're going to do when somebody does something you don't want, and you're going to say the same thing every single time, the person will know to expect that if I do this, you're probably going to tell me I shouldn't do it, and you can ask me not to do it again, or you're going to tell me whatever it is that you tell me then. You stick to it 100%, you're usually able to get a message across. Now, the message is not that somebody says, oh, you're right, I shouldn't be parking in your driveway. Right? The person can still feel, what do you care if I park in your driveway? It doesn't matter if the person accepted it. But if every time they park in the driveway, you call and say, listen, I'm sure you didn't mean anything. I know you just see that my driveway is empty now, but I really cannot handle when you park there, maybe it's my own issue, please move your car right now. But if you do that every time, they won't be blocking your driveway. But if sometimes you do and sometimes you don't, and when you do, you start explaining it and you start getting all apologetic, and maybe my husband will come home and I think he might need the driveway. I know that you say that I should call you when he does come home, but maybe that doesn't go anywhere. It's very important. Don't be apologetic and don't be unsure when you're communicating. Be nice, but be clear and be firm and be assertive. Now, the way to do it is always by, I spoke about this very often, don't blame anyone for doing the wrong thing. Always let them save face and say, I'm sure you didn't mean it, and could be other people don't have any problem with it, and could be it's the right way to do it. For me, this is very difficult. I feel, it's about me and my feelings, I feel very strongly that this is how I'd like for things to be done, or I feel that this is very hurtful or very disturbing. Please don't do it. Now, it doesn't mean that somebody's going to like your message, but as long as you're not hurting anyone or being mechanech anyone or debating or giving excuses and hiding behind, yeah, because my husband, because my kids, because my thing, my that. No, this is how I feel and I would appreciate, and please, let's do this. Most often when you're that clear about something, you'll get your message across. So if your mother is touching your dirty laundry and you don't like it, for example, I think it's fine to say, you know, it's so special of you to do my laundry, and I'm sure most people wouldn't have any issue with going through their laundry because laundry is laundry, and I believe most houses laundry looks the same. I feel very uncomfortable with it. I would appreciate it if you don't touch my laundry. Thank you so much. She might not like the message. She might even be a little offended, but you didn't say anything wrong, I don't think. And if next time she does do the laundry, even just a little bit, she's just doing the socks, and you say again, yeah, no, I really appreciate it. You do it. I'm sure most people wouldn't have an issue. Please, I don't feel comfortable when anyone goes through my laundry. Nothing personal. Please don't do it. But only the socks. I know. Thank you. Please, if you could just be respectful of that. Most often when you communicate it that way, and the same thing with the children, same thing with the chinuch, same thing with whatever it is, most often when you're very clear about that, it will probably go over better than you thought, especially if you're consistent. Sometimes the feedback will be something like, oh, today's kids, or you didn't understand, you're so ungrateful. You could hear all of it, and don't get into a debate, and don't let that phase you, as long as you remain respectful. Next time you say it again, and the person sees, oh, when I said all those words, it didn't help, and I'm still hearing this message, most often you'll get your message across. Now, in terms of your children, letting them understand that you're the boss and you're making decisions and not the grandmother, and then she's trying to be mechan of them, you have to be very careful. Don't use your kids. People make this mistake very often. Children need to obey and be respectful of a parent and a grandparent. You don't want to teach your kids, it's okay when Bobby says that, don't do it, because they're going to listen to you, and now you got your message across roundabout, and it was easy for you than addressing your mother. Don't do that. It's an old mistake that people make when they're not confident, so they don't know what they're doing, so they can use the kids instead of, don't use your children. You should address your mother, I think, if it's important enough for you, the parts that are, and the parts that aren't, I think it's fine to tell your children, listen, I know when Bobby comes, she often tells you to clean up or do things, even though you already did your list of chores or whatever it is you had to do, you'll get a prize for listening to Bobby. We have to be respectful. And if Bobby says it, then we have to listen. That's their cheretz. You'll come to me later for a prize. Bobby doesn't have to know. I think that would just be one good idea, for example. Sometimes it's fine to tell children, well, when Bobby's here, we help a little more. It's not terrible either. But if for whatever reason you do decide that it's a little over the limit and it's getting to you, even just for your own your own feelings, I think it's fine to tell children just to work along with them and say, you know, I understand you really did work a lot today, and Bobby comes and starts bossing you around, you see your children are getting a little resentful, you can give them chizik, you can make them feel good, that's a big mitzvah, and if you see that's not working, I think you could offer them something for that. I just want to end off by saying that this is definitely a tough situation. Like I said, for some it works to just stick it out and get the schiz of being a good child and helping a parent, and hopefully when you will be an older parent, your children will be helpful to you, and for others it doesn't work. Others just get resentful, and they get, and it makes them all pull down, and it kills their mood, and it kills their whatever, and you know, if that's what it's doing to you, then you have to deal with it. Don't get black and white, though. Don't get the all or none. That's a mistake of, that's it, I'm not having her run my home anymore, I'm going to give her attitude, and I'm going to tell her not to come, and I don't need her, I'm going to tell her to stop. Or the other way around, I'm just going to let her control my whole life, and nobody in my house will be happy, and hopefully it's just going to end somewhere. And, you know, that's not either the way to do it. Ask Hashem for siyat d'shmaya. Break it down, be responsible, figure out how to communicate, figure out what you have to accept and what not, and hopefully you'll be able to get it right, let's call it. So just to make the quick summary, yes, there are people that are more challenging, and I think almost everyone knows of some people in their life, in some kind of close proximity, that are more challenging and difficult to get along with. Like I said, there's a lot of ideas how to get along with such people in general, to make them feel good, make them feel more respected. There's a lot of halucha issues that I think you should make sure that you have clarity on, what you should or shouldn't do or say. And technically, just make sure that you're not doing anything to make this worse than it is by enabling and allowing it to be worse than it should be. Learn what to accept and learn what you have to communicate nicely about. And hopefully, you know, trying to be the best person you could be. We're all trying to grow. We're all trying to be that gaver. But we have to know that yeakli gaver al ishu. We have to know that if you could push yourself more and do it well, and grow and be a better person that's more respectful of a parent and more helpful and more whatever it is with good feeling and willing, it's definitely a very, very big mitzvah. Not a question. Those who could be doing more should be doing more. And those who can't have to know that this is not for me and I can't do this and it's just causing more hard feelings and more challenges in the relationship and it's going to plot somewhere. You know, so I think that by doing the right thing and deciding where we should be and what we should be doing with a lot of set the Shmaya and a lot of guidance from the Astoira, we could live together. Mahava Achav Shalom Barayas.